Now look back with me in Luke chapter 7. And we have a message today. I've titled it, The Two Debtors. The Two Debtors. When I read this about the Lord Jesus being invited into Simon the Pharisee's house, that was his name, Simon. In another place he called him Simon the Pharisee. And this woman coming in, uninvited by Simon, but the Holy Ghost brought her in.
Amen.
You know, but I noticed this, and I think you'll notice this also, that our Lord, when He speaks, when He teaches something, He speaks in very plain, understandable language that the common people can understand. Here He talks about men being in debt, people being in debt. A certain creditor had two debtors. And He used this woman coming in and Simon as illustrations of people being in debt. And that neither one can pay the debt. They have nothing to pay. And so we understand, everybody understands what debt is. What debt is, what it is to owe. Nobody likes it that I know of. I've never met anybody that likes debt, likes to be in debt, likes to owe. And there's a lot of people that'll tell you they don't owe anybody anything. They don't have any debt. And that's a wonderful thing. And there's a multitude laboring, worrying, fretting, doing everything in their power to get out of debt. And then there's another group of people that have no regard for debt at all. They just don't pay any attention to being in debt. Don't care anything about it. Don't care, you know, they just shuffle one bill to another bill to another bill and don't seem to worry about being in debt. But here our Lord, let's set up this message if I can. Here we have a Pharisee. His name was Simon. He desired the Lord to come and eat with him. And our Lord went into this Pharisee's house. And when they ate in those homes, they didn't sit at tables like we do. They reclined. The table was just a little way off the floor, and they'd recline. They sat down on the floor with their feet either out or under a little table there. And here's this Pharisee, and then here's this woman. And the Scripture says a woman which was a sinner. The Scripture calls her a sinner. And when she came in and stood behind the Lord Jesus Christ, He was evidently facing and His feet was out, and she came up behind Him. And she stood there and began to cry. And when she did, Simon sets in judgment on her. And not only that, but he sets in judgment upon the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Look what it says in verse 39. Now when the Pharisees, which had bidden him, invited the Lord Jesus in, he spake within himself. Just, how do we know what he spake within himself? Because God knows exactly your thoughts. He spake within himself, thought within himself, what he says. Speaks to himself, talking to himself. Mary and I was on our way to service this morning. I started laughing a little bit, and she said, "What are you laughing about?" Sniggered a little bit, and I said, "Nothing." "Oh, tell me. You know, by my actions, you could tell I was thinking something." And here, the Holy Ghost knows what's in a man's heart. And this is written here for us, that God knows exactly what we think. How many times did he say he thought within himself and the Lord Jesus would expose the thought? There ain't nothing covered that shall not be revealed. Anything hid that shall not be made known. You do it in darkness, it's going to be brought to the light. It may not be brought to the light in this world, but it'll be brought to light in the next world. And then he says, this man, he sets in judgment on the Lord Jesus himself, said, "Now this man, if he were a prophet..." Now he didn't want this sinner in his house. But if he wanted the Lord Jesus there, and he just got through calling him a wine bibber and a gluttonous man, the Pharisees did. Yeah, there in verse 34, that's what they called him, a gluttonous and a wine bibber. But he wanted him in his house. But he didn't want this sinner in his house. And then when the Lord Jesus allowed this woman to touch him, this is the way Pharisees are. They don't want to touch, don't want to be touched by nothing unclean, and don't want to touch anything that's unclean. And so he said, if this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who, and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him. For she is a sinner. Oh my. So he sets in judgment upon the Lord Jesus Christ himself for allowing this woman to touch him. Simon's cold, hard heart was a stranger to our Lord Jesus Christ. And especially a stranger to his love. Now see, his religion is like most people's religion. It had a form. It had a form. You could see it. You could see the form of it. But it was an empty shell. It denied the very power of God. It denied the power of Christ's righteousness. It denied the power of Christ's sovereign right. It denied the power of Christ's blood. It denied the power of the Lord Jesus Christ being a prophet. It denied the very power of the Lord Jesus Christ's willingness and power to forgive sinners. He denied the very right of God to do what he would with somebody. That's why our Lord gave this illustration of two creditors. But this woman, she's different. She's different than Simon. She didn't have no religion. She didn't have no religion. She is a sinner. Not only a sinner, but evidently one bad enough that everybody in town knew who she was. If he knew who this woman was and what manner of woman she is, evidently she had a reputation. But this woman's love, this woman's humility, this woman's submission to the Lord Jesus was more precious, and took more notice of than any feast that Simon could ever prepare for him. He took notice of what this woman did more than what Simon did for him. You see, our Lord Jesus, he comes, he sees, and he seeks the heart. He sees the heart, and it's the heart that he's after. It's the heart that he seeks. And I tell you this, and I know this without a doubt, any religion, any giving that is heartless is grievous to our Lord. And that's one of the greatest burdens that we face ourselves as believers, is when we feel heartless. When we feel cold. That's one of the miserable things you can experience as a believer, is feel your heartlessness. Feel your heartlessness. But oh, bless His name, the many sinners, or many sinners who show outward, or many Simons, I should say, many Simons who show outward respect to religion. Now, he showed outward respect to religion. Loved his prayers, loved his clothes, loved his going to meeting, loved his synagogue, loved having his scriptures on his arm. Many, many who show outward respect to religion, who have no heart for Christ, have no heart for sinners. And I tell you why, because they've never been a sinner themselves.
All right.
They've never been in debt. They're like Simon. Everybody else is the sinner, but I'm not. Everybody else is the one that's in trouble. I'm the one doing what's good. I'm the one doing what's good. But now let's look at this together, this story that our Lord Jesus Christ, true story. It's not a parable. This actually happened. And everything that happened in our Lord's life that's written is written to teach us something. And first of all, we say here in verse 41, it said, and there was a certain creditor. Certain creditor. Now this creditor is God. This creditor is God, who lets out and gives to people. And a creditor is one who's supposed to have a good reputation. If he's going to give out money, if he's going to give out loans, and no, we know that God don't loan, and I'll deal that in a minute. But anyway, he's supposed to have a good reputation. In other words, that if he lets you have, he's not going to charge you over an abundance. He's going to give you just exactly what you ask for, what you want, and he's not going to charge you back. He's not going to mistreat you coming back. And you know, people sit in judgment upon one another, but the Scripture says, "Knowest thou not, O man, that thou thyself should be judged of God?" And you see, he cannot lie. A creditor has to have a good reputation. He can't lie. He can't lie. I remember one time borrowing some money, and I understood something about it, and the fellow who loaned it to me understood it different. And him, I had some really hard words over it. I called him a liar in his office, and I called him a liar in front of everybody in that office. I didn't feel he treated me right. He was a creditor, and I was a fellow going to borrow the money. But he lied to me. And I seen him several years later, and I said, "You remember me?" And he said, "I do." But God won't lie. What you owe him, he knows exactly what it is. He knows down to the minutest penny, to the uttermost farthing. And he can't lie. The judge of all the earth, he must do right. He is immutable. Oh my. And he cannot change. He can't be deceived or can't deceive anyone. He is trustworthy. He'll not charge you for your debts that you do not owe. Is that not right? He won't charge you as a 500-pence sinner when you're a 50-pence sinner. And he won't charge you for 1,000 pence if you're just 700 pence. Is that not right? He's trustworthy. And then a creditor is one who has sufficiency for others. In other words, he's got what people need, what people want. The Scripture says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything in this world belongs to him. Huh? And our sufficiency of God, you see, what he needs, he has. And as we go through this life, he continually gives to us. You need food? You got food. You need clothes? You have clothes. You need a home? He gives you a home. You need a doctor? He provides you a good doctor. Everything you need in this world, he gives you. You may not have every want. Most of us have more than what we need. And almost all of us have what we want. But he always gives what we need. He has sufficiency for others. You'll never go to him and he'll say, "I don't have it. I can't let you have it." No, he's not that way. He has sufficiency. The fullness of God and the sufficiency that he has for everybody dwells in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The only place in all the universe where a person who is in debt can get their debt paid off is the only place in all the universe where the need of a human being can be met is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why David said, "This is all my salvation. This is all my desire."
Amen.
Our needs are deep. Our debt is great. But he is full. And our sins is great. Oh, how great they are. But thank God, grace is greater. Grace is greater. And a creditor is one who, when he lets out and gives out and gives what people ask for, is one who looks for some return for what he gives out. Everybody looks for some return. They do. At least looks for some gratitude even. What have you got that you didn't receive? Right? What have you got that you didn't receive? You see, everything you and I have in this world is a loan. We actually have nothing of our own. What did you bring into this world? That's why I'm trying to spend all the money I can. While I'm trying to spend it now. Trying to get rid of it as fast as I can get rid of it. I'm not taking nothing with me. I'm not taking one penny with me. I don't want to leave it to two or three kids that's going to go out here and buy a fast car and kill themselves with it. Or use it to go buy a bunch of drugs and blow their mind with it. I want it gone. When I leave this world, I want it gone. I didn't bring nothing here, but that's... So everything that I have between the time I come into this world and the time I leave here, everything I have, somebody else gave it to me. Is that not right? My kids, God gave them. My wife, God gave her. What little sense of God, He gave it to me. Everything I have come from the hand of God, and everything you've got come from the hand of God. Every single thing you have. What have you got that you didn't receive? Now. And I tell you this, when He gives out to us, the only thing He gives us is what's good. Has He ever gave you anything but what was good? Tell me one thing that He gave you that was not good. One thing He did for you that wasn't right. One thing that He gave you that I'm telling you wasn't just exactly what you needed when you needed it.
That's right.
And what do we give Him in return? When He comes looking for return, what do we give Him in return? Give Him evil for good, hatred for love, murmuring for kindness. Gives us manna from heaven, we murmur. Complaints and bitterness. Gets too hot in the summer, oh, I wish it. Oh, gets too cold in the winter, oh, I can't stand the cold. Frost comes along, kills something, oh, I'd just like once to get that plow through.
You're doing it right.
Complaints and bitterness. Complaints and bitterness. Unthankful because He hasn't given us more. More. After all, we're entitled to it, aren't we? We're entitled to be treated right. We're entitled to have goodness. We're entitled to have the best. We're entitled to have a good home. We're entitled to have good health. We're entitled to have our children open. We're entitled, we're entitled, we're entitled. But that's not what the book says.
Amen.
What have you got that you didn't receive? Huh? If you'd even had a job that made you a living all the days of your life, God gave you that job. When I first went to Mexico the first time, there were people down there had corn patches about the size of this room here, and they had to go out there with a stick. They'd burn it off and go out there with a stick now, not a hoe, not a rotor tiller. Not a tractor with a big plow on the back of it, and then come back with a bunch of discs behind it, then pile the fertilizer on it. They'd have to take a stick and punch a little hole in the ground, drop a seed in it, and step on it like that. And then and that's what they'd have to live on. And they'd hopefully have enough of that to let somebody else have to make a dollar. And God gave them that.
Yes,
is that right? Oh my. Can you reckon up, if you was to start reckoning up right now, the good God has given you in a lifetime? Just what did He give you the last week? Just the last week. How much do you owe? Well, who was it? Robert Murray M'Cheyne wrote that hymn, "How Much I Owe." Lord, make me to know how much I owe. How much do you owe? How much do we owe? In fact, do you think we could ever pay it back? Well, look at these two debtors now. God's the creditor. It's Him we owe. He gave us sufficiency. He got sufficient. He gave us what we wanted when we asked Him. But here, there was a certain creditor in verse 41 which had two debtors. Two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. Two. And these two debtors represent two classes of sinners, two classes of transgressors. There's the great and there's the little. Our Lord said, "He that is forgiven of much, loveth much. He that's forgiven of little, loveth little." So evidently there's different types of sinners, even as far as God's concerned. Is that not right? And so here we have the great and the little. And that's just like dead sinners. No matter how much you owe, how big or how little, It's like being a dead sinner. There's three sinners in the scriptures that were dead. Three people that were dead. There was Lazarus. He was dead so long that he was already under corruption and began to stink. Now there's lots of people out in this world who are dead and corrupt, and they've been they stink. They're so profane, they're so filthy mouthed, they're so wretched, they're so evil that they stink in their corruption. And then there's the widow's son. He'd been dead less than just 24 hours, and they was carrying him to the grave. Corruption hadn't set in yet. He hadn't stunk yet. But he's still just as dead as Lazarus was.
Yes.
And that's the way some people are. They're not just stinking corrupt. They're loved by somebody, and they cared for by somebody, and they're wept over by somebody, but they're still dead. And then there's Jairus' daughter. She's 12 years old. She had just been dead just moments before the Lord got there. They went to get the Lord to bring him to his house and says, "My daughter lies sick." And he was on his way there, and they said, "Where?" Said, "Just don't trouble the master. Your daughter's dead." Our Lord went in there and said, "Oh, you've just been dead just a few moments." But she was as dead as Lazarus was. She was dead as the widow's son. I mean, if you're dead a moment, you're just as dead as you're ever going to be. But yet she wasn't corrupt. Yet she wasn't stinking yet. And she was young and hadn't lived a life and debauchery and depravity. You see, depravity doesn't mean you're as bad as you can be. It means you're as bad off in the sight of God as you can be. Lazarus stunk. The 12-year-old girl just had a moment, just died just for a moment. But they're both just as dead as they can be. And if they have a life, it's going to take God and the power of God to give them life.
Amen.
It's going to take Christ to give them life. And that's the way this business is, whether you owe 500 pence or you owe 5. I'm telling you that you're in debt and you can't pay that debt. Oh, and the 50 pence debtor. I'll tell you who he is. There's lots of them around. The 50 pence sinner, he's the religious person. The moralist who lacks one thing. One thing. Is that all you lack, one thing? They lack one thing. But that 500 pence debtor, he's that low down, sorry, wretched, mean, useless, no good, profane sinner that lacks everything, ain't got nothing. Let me give you some illustrations of people's debt and their how they consider their debt. And I believe all of us has been here at one time or another. There's the 100 pence debtor. He's somewhat indifferent to the goodness of God. You know, I owe 100 pence. Oh, one of these days I'm going to pay it up. I'm going to start on it. He's somewhat indifferent to the goodness of God. God's good to him, meets all of his needs. He just goes on about his life, a little indifferent to it. Every once in a while he thinks of it. Then there's the 200 pence debtor. He's completely indifferent to the gifts of God. Oh, I don't know enough to have to worry about it. God gives him gifts continually and constantly and meets his needs, and he's not even conscious of it. And then there's the 300 pence. And what he does is he questions his goodness occasionally. He says, "You know, I'm not perfect. I'm a pretty good person. I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect." I was watching this murder trial last night, and this man was convicted of murdering his wife and daughter. And his sister stood out there and said, "You know," said, "people really don't know what a good man he is. They don't know how good our family is. They don't know that we're good people. We like to do good for other people." Oh, he likes to do good for other people, just likes to kill his wife and daughter. Folks are going to hold on just as long as they can to their own righteousness. And everybody else is what's wrong. And you know, they look at their goodness, and then they'll find somebody who knows Christ, and they start to mock them because they're not meeting their standards. "Well, if I was a Christian, I wouldn't have said that. If I was a Christian, I wouldn't have done that." I thought you all was Christians. I didn't know Christians acted that way. How many times have you heard that in your life? How many times have you said that about somebody when you were self-righteous and stuck in your own rut? Huh? How many times have you said that about somebody? Well, I thought you was a Christian. How did you act that way and you be a Christian? They owe 300 pence and they're around here finding fault with everybody else instead of looking at their debt. And then there's the 400 pence debtor. He denies God. Despises His mercy. And yet, men regard him as respectable. They regard him as respectable. He's a fine fella. Boy, I tell you what, I think he's one of the finest men I've ever met. He don't care about God. He don't care about the gospel. I know he don't go to church. But oh boy, what a fine fella. What a fine fella. Oh, what a good character that fella's got, huh? But I'm telling you something, all who the creditor has been good to, all whom the creditor has been good to are his debtors.
Amen.
Whether he was good to you for just a moment in time before you left this world, or whether he let you live here like he did Anna for 103 to 6 years, he's been good to you. Huh? And oh my, all have sinned. But now look here at these two debtors now. Our Lord said there was a certain creditor in verse 41 which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay. Now here's helpless bankrupts. Here's a big debtor and a little debtor. Both of them alike. Neither one of them can pay. Neither one of them had anything. They had nothing. Ain't that right?
Right.
Years ago, you know, I heard some fellas talking the other day about how they could have bought land and how cheap they could have bought it, you know, 50 cents a dollar an acre, 89 cents an acre, things like that. Man, that's just hard for us to grasp now. But you know why they didn't buy it at 89 cents an acre or a dollar an acre? They didn't have a dollar. That's why you're not going out here and buying $50,000 an acre land right now. Because you ain't got $50,000. And you know why you're not going to pay off God? Because you ain't got nothing to pay with.
I don't got nothing to pay.
Yeah. I don't care how much there is out there and what the price on it is, if you ain't got the money for it, you're in trouble. Ain't that right? And that's what he's saying here. And oh my, and that's where every sinner is in God's sight. There is no difference whether you owe a nickel or whether you owe 50 cents, whether you owe a dollar or whether you owe $500. If you ain't got the money to pay, you just ain't got it. And our debt may be less or our debt may be greater, but the hopelessness of our condition in the sight of God is exactly the same. Ain't that what he said? One owed 50 and one owed 500. That was 450 pence between the two. The debt was astronomical between the two. But neither one of them could pay off their debt. Neither one of them, when the creditor comes and says, "Now pay me what you owe." Neither one of them could say, "Well, give me another note and I'll sign another note." And I'll... No, they couldn't do that. They didn't have nothing. By nature, we're all alike. We're without strength. We're without God. There's none good. In the sight of God, none. Absolutely none. There's none righteous. Where the blood isn't sprinkled, God makes no difference. He said, "Where I see the blood, I'll pass over. Where there ain't no blood, judgment falls. Where there ain't no blood over the lintel, God comes in and He starts slaying." And all outside the ark, when that rain began to fall in that ark, no one was in that ark, and mothers standing there trying their best to hold their little babies up. Before that water got up, they started drowning them as long as they could. Everybody outside the ark, God treated them exactly the same.
Amen.
It's only those in the ark, beloved, that God saved. It's only those in Christ that God's going to do something for. Only those that come to Christ. Oh my God. They had nothing. The waters prevailed over them. They had nothing. When the judgment came, there was the ark, but they couldn't get in there. When the angel came through Egypt that night, at midnight, when there wasn't any blood, it was too late.
Amen.
They had nothing. They didn't have any blood, so they didn't have nothing. They weren't in the ark, so they had nothing. Oh, you know what we can make out of nothing? Nothing. And when you ain't got nothing, you can't get something out of nothing. And that's what people keep trying to convince themselves of, that they got something, and one of these days they're going to make something with what little something they got. But you ain't got nothing, and you can't make nothing out of nothing. Only God can take nothing and make something out of it. Oh my, payment's impossible. Where else are we going to go to borrow? Where else are we going to go find us another creditor that'll pay off him and then let us owe them? Huh? One or two things got to happen. One or two things got to happen. Either an absolute forgiveness of the debt. Now you may in this world be able to go file bankruptcy. You may be able to do that. And people do it all the time. In fact, they encourage people to do it. Lawyers are advertised, don't you? File bankruptcy. Get out of the... But listen, you may be able to file bankruptcy in this world, but you can't file bankruptcy up there. The debt you owe, you can't say, well, I'm going to file bankruptcy. And I'm going to keep everything. I'm going to let everything go except my righteousness. I'm going to let everything go except this little good part I've done over here 25 years ago when I helped a fellow build his house back after it burned down. that's how depraved we are. That's how low our mind sinks. But one or two things must happen. An absolute forgiveness of the debt. The creditor looks you in the eye and says, I'm going to wipe your debt clean. I'm going to do away with it entirely. Or else, they're going to come and get you and hail you to the prison. And you're going to stay there until the uttermost farthing is paid. Huh? But oh, look what happens now in verse 42. And when they have nothing to pay. I like to read that, when they had nothing to pay. I fit that condition. I can find myself right there. You know what nothing is? Let me see if I can. I've done this before, but let me show you what nothing is. I'm going to show you what nothing is. What's that? How much is that? How much is that? Now, that amounts to something, don't it, when you put that one in front of it? Huh? I can understand nothing. I can understand nothing because I didn't have nothing. And now, I've got nothing but what he gave me. And oh, look what happens now. He says, and when they had nothing to pay, he frankly, that word frankly means openly, honestly. You know, say, I want to be frank. That means that they're going to get candid. They're going to come out in the open with it. They're going to tell you just exactly what's going on. And frankly, he forgave them both. Oh, how good, how gracious is our God. What did he do? He forgave.
Amen.
He forgave. And I tell you something, beloved, he didn't compromise. He didn't say, now listen, you give me 10 cents on every dollar. He didn't say, give me a nickel on every dollar.
No.
He frankly forgave the whole debt. And he didn't compromise to do it. His way suited their circumstances. And His way of forgiving us suits our circumstances.
Amen.
We have nothing to pay, and we're in debt, so how are we going to get out from it? Lord, if Thou shouldest mark iniquities, call up our debts, who should be able to stand? But watch it now, there is forgiveness with Thee that Thou mayest be feared. Huh? Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Blessed is the man whose sins are covered. And oh my, our Lord said, having forgiven you all trespasses.
Amen.
There's no compromise. There's no, I'm going to forgive you of all your sins but one, and you're going to have to deal with that the best you can. There's no, I'm going to forgive you of all your past sins, and you're going to have to live right from here on out. None of that. All your debts, all your own. 500 pence. 500 pence. Go! Justice comes along and says, look, I'm going to call him in question for his debt. Ain't none. Go up there. Devil goes up to God and said, I want to see Donnie Bell's debts. He ain't got any. Well, I know this sin he committed back then, committed back there, and this thing he thought, and he was like Simon. He thought within himself. There ain't none. There ain't none. Oh, there ain't none at all. They're gone. Did you hear what Jesus said to me? They're all taken away. They're all taken away. Look who he forgave. Frankly, he forgave them both. Why did he forgive both of them? One didn't know near as much as the other. Because both needed him. Neither one of them could pay. Neither one of them could pay. They both needed their debts cleansed. The self-righteous moralist, the workmonger, the respectable church-going 50-pence debtor, all of them need forgiveness. All of them need debts cleared. All of them need God to say, I forgive you. I put your sin away. I put your debt away. Huh? And they're not going to do that if somebody don't tell them. And how he forgave them, it says here frankly, in a free and liberal and loving manner. He didn't do it grudgingly. Now every once in a while we'll grudgingly let somebody's debt go. Every once in a while we'll just write it off and say, I'm going to forget that. I just ain't no use worrying about it anymore. I know I ain't going to get it back. In fact, quit making debt. Just give them the money and forget about it. That way you'll always have a friend. Isn't that right? You won't make an enemy over long. But here, in a free, not grudging way, it's like the father. When that father goes starting home, that father never, when the son got there, he didn't say, now son, I told you not to do that. I told you you'd waste it. I told you to put some back for a rainy day. I told you not to go down there to that country. I told you. No, that's not what the father done. The father's standing and looking. Dirk, he is looking. And he saw him way off out yonder. And then when he got close, he run out there and met him. And hugged him and kissed him and rejoiced over him and took him to the house, and he told everybody, he said, oh, go get that best robe and put it on him. Go get some shoes and put it on his feet. Get a ring and put it on his finger. This my son was dead and now he's alive. This my son was lost and now he's found. And that's the way God does us. He comes and forgives us because we need forgiving. Now Simon needed forgiveness, but he thought the woman was the one who's in trouble. But our Lord said, Simon, you may be the 50-pence sinner. You may be moral, and you may be good, and you may be a Pharisee, and you may attend the services, and you may read your Bible, and you may pray, but you still have a debt you cannot pay.
Amen.
And this woman here may be 500 pence, but I'm telling you something, Simon. Her debts are many. But they're gone. They're gone. Huh? Oh my, he delights to show mercy. Just like Joseph, when his brethren were standing before him. Them brethren who hated him. Them brethren who mistreated him. And he stood before them. And there they all were. His heart was just busting. And he had to run and hide to cry. And then when he came and exposed himself to them, they all said, "Oh, we're going to die now. You're going to kill us for sure." What did he do? He just fell on their necks and began to weep and cry and said, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You sent it down here. You meant me evil, but God sent me ahead of you for good." And he just fell on their necks and wept and cried and forgave them just like they'd never. And there's his long lost family. That's him. He thrilled to death to see them. And when he forgave them. You know when he forgave them? It says here when they had nothing to pay. As long as you've got something to pay with, you're not going to get forgiven. As long as you've got something left in your pocket, if you reach in your pocket and jangle your chain, you're not going to get forgiven. As long as you've got something of your own that you think you can pay God with, if you think you've got some prayer you've prayed, some sincerity, some honesty, some integrity, some good intention, as long as you have something, you'll never be forgiven. But you know when he forgave them? When they had nothing. Nothing. You know when the prodigal went home? When he spent all. When he run out of everything. When he had nothing. That's when he decided to go. When he had nothing, he said, "I'm going to go back home." Ain't that right? Oh my. And that rich young ruler, he came with a price in his hand. "Good master, what good thing must I do to inherit?" "What good thing must I do?" Our Lord said, "Well, take all your money and give it away. Come on, follow me." "I ain't going to do that. I'm going to keep what little money I got. I'm going to keep hold of it. I want life. I want heaven. I want to be saved. But I'm not going to open that hand again." And he went away sorrowful. It's like that Laodicean church. They had need of nothing. But Christ wasn't there either.
No.
And we sang that little old song, "Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow." And then look at the evidence, the gracious, glorious, blessed evidence of having your sins forgiven, sins taken away, sins washed away by the blood of the Son of God. And you know what the evidence is love. In verse 42, "And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most?" Now he said both of them are going to love him. The 50 50% debtor and the 500, they both going to love him.
Yeah.
But who's going to love him the most? That's what our Savior is asking. And old Simon, I suppose that he whom forgave the most. And he said, "You're right. You're exactly right. You rightly judged. It's a right judgment." Then to expect the forgiven. What he's saying is a right judgment to expect the forgiven to manifest in some way or another the love for him who freely forgives all their debt. Shouldn't he expect that? Huh? Shouldn't he expect that? And oh my, she loved much because she had been forgiven much. But now watch look what happens. You know, where people have been forgiven of much, they had to have much love for the master. They weep. They have tears. Look what it says here now in verse 44. "And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman?" He points to this woman. The evidence that her sin's been forgiven. Her love for the master. "I entered into your house. You gave me no water, but she has washed my feet with tears." Much love weeps. She had tears of regret, no doubt, for her past. And she also had tears of gratitude toward God. And she had tears of compassion for the lost. Our Lord Jesus wept. Paul wept. And then much love humbles itself. She got down there, and the scripture said, and she washed my feet with her tears. She washed my feet. She washed my feet. You know, before we'll ever wash his feet, and I'll tell you about that in a minute, but I tell you, our Lord Jesus said, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. See, love washes away dirt and stain like nothing else. If you love somebody and love them much, your love will wash away the dirt and stain like nothing else will. Love covereth a multitude of sins. Don't it? Love, your love for me has washed my feet. I couldn't tell you the times when you've seen them dirty. And then much love stoops. She got down behind the Lord Jesus Christ, and she wiped her feet. She wiped his feet with her hair. Now the scriptures tells us that the woman's glory is her hair. And the reason they're to have hair on their head is to show that they're in subjection to their husbands. And she wipes his feet with her hair, and much love stoops down. She puts her glory at his feet. He must increase and I must decrease. And much love kisses. Much love kisses. And it says here that she not only done that in verse 45, but thou gavest me no kiss. When you come in, we greet the brethren. You know, I see brethren I haven't seen in a while and I always kiss them. And they kiss me. Greet the brethren with a holy kiss. And oh boy, and it says here, you didn't give me no kiss when I come in. You never hugged me and kissed my cheek. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. She's just been sitting, kissing my feet, kissing my feet, kissing my feet. Her lips of affection are pressed to his feet. Pressed to his feet. Now listen to me. The dusty, naked feet of our Lord Jesus Christ are here on this earth. Us. His church. And don't neglect to kiss them. They're dirty and they're dusty. But they're his feet. And don't fail to kiss them. Don't fail to kiss them. Huh? Somebody asked me here a while back, do y'all ever exclude anybody from the church to ever discipline the church? And I said, I can't never remember excluding anybody. You know anybody excluded since you've been here? There's been a lot come and gone. And if everybody's left wants to come back, I don't care how dirty their feet are, I'll kiss them. If they belong to Christ. Honestly, I would. I think you would too, don't you? Wouldn't you? Huh? And much love anoints. Oh my, look what he says in verse 46. My head with oil thou didst not anoint. You didn't come and let me wash my face and put oil on my face from that old dry sun and hot sun that come out. No, no. But the Father anoints Christ's head. But the forgiven ones must anoint his feet. Anoint his feet. Anoint one another with love. Do as I have done unto you. And much love follows. Look what she says. She followed him into this house. She loved him enough to go someplace where she wasn't wanted, wasn't desired, and was mocked and made fun of. But she said, that don't make no difference to me. I won't be where my master's at. Even if he's in a Pharisee's house, that's where I'm going to go. And when she got there, much love not only followed, she followed him. She knew she would be reproached. She knew she wasn't wanted. But the love of Christ constrains us. We love him because he first loved us. Here we have a proud-hearted Pharisee, a broken-hearted sinner, and a loving-hearted Savior. And then, beloved, last of all, much love gives. She brought a box of ointment. She brought a box of ointment. Ain't that what it said? An alabaster box of ointment. And this was all her treasure. This was expensive. It was very expensive. This was her treasure. And she laid it at his feet. She took the most worthy thing she had The most expensive thing she had, she laid at his feet. And she not only laid the ointment, but she laid herself. And she could have brought the ointment and not brought herself, and it wouldn't have done anything. But when you bring the ointment with yourself, it's everything. And that's what you've got to have. Got to have yourself. Our Father, in the gracious holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for allowing us to meet here this morning to talk of your love, your mercy, your grace, your willingness to forgive. And Lord, some of us had an incredible debt, a debt that we could not possibly even imagine how great it was, but to our own mind it was great. And yet you forgave us freely, fully, liberally. Thank you, Lord. God, make somebody here know their debt today. Make them understand they have nothing to pay. And if they have nothing, oh Lord Jesus, then they'll come to you. Grant it for Christ's sake. Amen.